This Week in Palestine, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.imemc.org, for September 27th through October 3rd, 2008. Israeli settler attacks in the West Bank doubled during 2008, while in Gaza, the Palestinian Petroleum Authority warns of a worsening crisis if the siege continues, as intra-Palestinian and Israeli-Palestinian talks are not progressing. These stories and more coming up. Stay tuned. We begin our weekly report with the non-violent activities this week in Palestine, as October 2nd marks the International Day of Non-Violence, marked by the United Nations to honor the birth of the leader of the non-violent movement in India, Mahatma Gandhi. Palestinians start the olive trees harvest season with settlers' assaults in Nealin and Hebron. In the village of Nealin, north of Ramallah, Israeli settlers attacked Palestinian farmers accompanied by international and Israeli activists en route to their lands to harvest the olive trees on the far side of the wall. About 40 activists clashed with as many settlers who claimed that the olive grove to be harvested do not indeed belong to the Nealin residents. The settlers tried to prevent the activists and the Palestinian family from reaching the trees. Local sources reported that the activists and the farmers managed to get the settlers off the land and to harvest the olive trees. Meanwhile, in Hebron, settlers attacked peace activists from the Israeli Rabbis for Human Rights movement as they stood protecting a group of Palestinians harvesting olive trees in their field. Israeli media sources said Israeli troops operating in the area tried to stop the settlers who were trying to force the farmers off the field. Rabbis for Human Rights and Israeli leftist movement said they are planning to accompany Palestinians in 40 different villages when they harvest their olive trees. Rabbis for Human Rights will provide these villagers with protection from the Israeli police, military and settlers who increasingly harass and assault Palestinians. In the village of Belayin, 3 civilians were wounded with rubber-coated steel bullets and dozens were treated for gas inhalation in the weekly non-violent anti-wall protest Friday afternoon. The villagers, accompanied by international and Israeli supporters, marched after the Friday prayer carrying Palestinian flags and banners calling for continuing the nonviolent resistance to remove the wall and the settlements from the West Bank. Marchers also took to the streets chanting slogans calling for national unity among Palestinian factions. Protesters carried ladders they use in olive trees harvesting. This harvest begins soon. During the heaviest part of the season, Palestinian farmers often face problems from soldiers who shoot at them and booby-trap the trees. As protesters arrived at the gate in the fence, Israeli troops showered them with concussion grenades and rubber-coated steel bullets and dozens of gas canisters, causing many of them to have difficulty breathing. Dozens were treated for gas inhalation and 3 suffered minor injuries when they were hit by rubber-coated steel bullets. The 3 were identified as Muhib Barghouti, a journalist with a local newspaper, Abdullah Yassin from Belayin, and a Japanese peace activist. Also on Friday, in Al-Masara village in southern Bethlehem, clashes erupted between the Israeli troops and nonviolent activists who marched in the village in their weekly protest against the wall being built on their land. Also in Bethlehem, Palestinian and international demonstrators at the southern entrance to Al-Khadr on Jerusalem-Hebron Road continue their weekly Friday nonviolent protests against the ongoing construction of the illegal Israeli wall. They demand an end to the Israeli occupation. Protesters began with midday Friday prayer near Route 60, the settler bypass road, where the illegal wall is being constructed. No Israeli military were present. On Monday, October 6th, a new aid convoy aimed at breaking the siege on the Gaza Strip is expected to enter through the Rafah crossing in the southern Gaza Strip coming from Egypt. The convoy, coordinated between the Popular Committee to Break the Siege on Gaza and the Egyptian Medical Union, will be carrying medical aid to the besieged Gaza population. The convoy was encouraged by the success of the Free Gaza movement, who were able in August to sail from Cyprus to Gaza, carrying 44 international human rights activists on board. For IMEMC.org, this is George Shmawi. Palestinian Palestinian and Israeli negotiators are set to meet in Cairo next November with representatives of the Quartet Committee for Middle East Peace in order to discuss future peace talks. Meanwhile, representatives of Palestinian factions are meeting this month in Cairo to work out their internal differences. IMEMC's E.L. Humble has more.
As Palestinian-Israeli peace talks continue to be stalled, Palestinian and Israeli negotiators, with the participation of the Quartet, are scheduled to meet in Cairo in November in order to lay out broad lines for their future peace talks. The outgoing Israeli Prime Minister, Ehud Olmert, said earlier this week that Israel should withdraw from the Arab Palestinian neighborhoods of the occupied East Jerusalem so that a workable solution can be guaranteed. Olmert's statements come as the two sides' negotiations are yet to reach an agreement on several contentious issues, such as the status of East Jerusalem, the problem of Palestinian refugees, and the future borders of the Palestinian state, water, and security arrangements. In Damascus, Secretary of the Palestinian Islamic Jihad Group, Ramadan Abdullah Shallah, said that Jerusalem cannot be liberated through negotiations, but rather through war, slamming underway Palestinian-Israeli talks. Last November, Washington brought Palestinians and Israelis together in the framework of Annapolis Peace Summit, on the basis of a two-state solution by the end of this year. At the internal level, as both Hamas and Fatah parties argue over the upcoming presidential elections in January 2009, the representatives are due to meet in Cairo this month to work out their differences for the best of national unity in Palestine. Deputy Speaker of the Hamas-dominated parliament, known as the Palestinian Legislative Council, PLC, Dr. Ahmad Bahar, rejected this week an Egyptian offer that a technocrat-dominated government can be formed to end current political turmoil. Faraj Al-Ghul, a Hamas leader in Gaza, told the IMEMC that his party will act according to item number 37 of the Palestinian Basic Law, which states as the president's term in office ends, the PLC's head takes the post. Hamas has repeatedly stated that the Fatah leader and PA's president, Mahmoud Abbas, will be no longer a president after January 8, 2008. Hamas's deputy head of PLC was reportedly said he would assume the president's post by then. Meanwhile, Fatah local leader in Gaza, Yahya Rabah, argued in an interview with the IMEMC that according to the Palestinian institution, simultaneous presidential and legislative elections shall be held as soon as the president's term ends. Rabah maintained that any claim to presidency by the dominant party Hamas is illegal. He stated that the length of the term for both the presidency and the parliament is the same, therefore mandate that both bodies should be terminated simultaneously. In the shadow of such controversy, representatives of both Hamas and Fatah will be holding Egyptian-mediated talks next week, overending their differences and hope to come out with a national unity agreement. The two parties have been at odds since the Hamas party took power after January 2006's parliamentary elections. Hamas is opposed to peace talks with Israel until Israel halts actions against the Palestinian people, while Fatah continues peace negotiations with Israel. For IMEMC.org, this is E.L. Humble.
In the West Bank, the Israeli military invaded several towns and villages, detaining dozens of Palestinians. Meanwhile, the Ramallah-based Palestinian government stated it released scores of Hamas supporters jailed in its prisons, while Hamas denied the reports. These news are more with IMEMC's Jessica Husley.
This week, Israeli troops invaded several West Bank cities, towns, and villages, rounding up dozens of people. The detention campaigns were concentrated in the cities of Nablus, Jenin, Tukaram, and Hebron. Earlier this week, a number of armed Israeli settlers attacked the Kufair El-Dik village near the West Bank city of Nablus. They were reported killing a teenage Palestinian shepherd. The settlers vandalized local Palestinian homes, messing with contents inside and terrifying the unarmed inhabitants. Israeli settlers' attacks have been reported as escalated over the past few weeks. The occupied West Bank is surrounded by a number of Israeli settlements, some of which are major blocks, such as Ma'ale Adumim, which lies in between Jerusalem and Jericho. International law regards such settlements illegal. However, Israel continues to expand them or build new ones on occupied Palestinian land. Meanwhile, as representatives of both the rival Fatah and Hamas parties are set to hold talks in Cairo next week, the Ramallah-based Fatah-led government said it released about 40 Hamas prisoners that were being held in the Palestinian prison. The Hamas-led government in Gaza denied that any Hamas supporters were released from the Palestinian authorities' prisons in the West Bank. demanding release of all of its supporters. The Palestinian Fatah and Hamas parties have been at odds since Hamas took power after January of 2006 parliamentary elections. Hamas shuns all peace talks with Israel. For IMEMC, this is Jessica Holsey.
In Gaza, the Petroleum Authority warned this week of a fueling crisis in the upcoming winter, and the Hamas government released the number of Fatah supporters jailed in its prisons. IMEMC's Rami Al-Mighari has the details.
The Hamas-run Palestinian Petroleum Authority warned this week of a fueling crisis in the upcoming winter, saying that with the inadequate quantities of fuel supplies from Israel, the demand for fuel, especially cooking gas, will be higher. Meanwhile, the Hamas government in Gaza released this week several Fatah leaders and supporters from its Gaza-based jails. The move was considered by a government spokesman as a goodwill gesture ahead of the upcoming National Unity Talks due to be held in Cairo next week. On the other hand, the International Campaign for Breaking the Israeli Blockade on Gaza said this week that a convoy of international campaigners will arrive in Gaza next Monday in a bid of support to the besieged Gaza population. For 16 months now, Gaza lives under a crippling Israeli siege, which came into effect right after the Hamas' takeover of the region in June 2007 amidst factional fighting with the Fatah Party of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. In the meantime, a number of Gaza-based resistance factions warned this week of the possible collapse of a three-month-old ceasefire with Israel unless Israel lifts its blockade and stops its actions against the Gaza Strip. This past June, Egyptian officials brokered a ceasefire deal between Israel and the Palestinian factions in Gaza on the basis of halting homemade shells fired into nearby Israeli towns and lifting the Israeli blockade on the coastal territory. For IMEMC.org, this is Rami Al-Mighari in Gaza.
And that was just some of the news this week in Palestine. For constant update, check out our website at www.imemc.org. Thanks for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. This week's report has been brought to you by Hussam Kassis and George Shmawi.